of ordaining married men of proven virtue, so-called viri provati, is expected to figure on the agenda. This week, a two-hour documentary on Italian TV is also likely to contribute to the conversation. The Choice, Priests and Love, profiles over a dozen men in four European countries who are grappling with the issue in different ways.
President Trump will have dinner Tuesday night with senior military leaders. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Clayton Kershaw will start Game 1 of the World Series tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Kershaw isn't just one of baseball's best pitchers, but he's also someone who's very outspoken about his Christian faith. Kershaw sat down with IamSecond.com, which has released over 125 films with over 100 million collective views of people telling their stories of faith.
Playing for the Dodgers in L.A. is just saying that. It's amazing. It's ridiculous. The prayer I say before I go out there and pitch is, you know, not God, you know, let me win today, or God, you know, help me pitch good. It's, you know, God, just be with me. With all the different people and different cultures and different religions, you can kind of just kind of become one, you know, one with the crowd. You got to keep reminding yourself that you're supposed to stand out and you're supposed to be different. And you're supposed to act boldly in your faith. It's definitely not easy. Not a great conversation starter sometimes, but, you know, it's worth the fight.
Kershaw also talks about an orphanage that he plans on opening with his wife in the next year to year and a half to help bring light to people in a part of the world that they don't usually see it. Game 1 first pitch tonight is just after 8 o'clock Eastern time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
She's a pro.
So, hi, this is Joe Peters, and we're doing, I'm not sure, I do two shows. I do Real Estate Matters, and I do a show called 55 Plus. This is neither. This is sort of in between. It's a general interest. I have sitting here with me Jamie Capuzzo. How do you say your last name?
Capuzzo.
Capuzzo. They call her Miss Cap at the 100 in an Academy. And Allie. Say hi, Allie.
Hi.
And Allie, your last name is?
Charlton.
Charlton. Okay, so we've got Allie and Miss Cap, or Jamie.
From Hudgen Preparatory School.
Yep, and we're going to tell you. You're going to know more about 100 and Prep when we get done than you can believe. So before we get started, they asked me to give you the local weather and a commercial or two, so I'm going to do that, and we'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and 100 In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and 100 In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So, hey, it's Joe Peters. Today is the 23rd of October. It's a little after 4 o'clock. We're in scenic downtown Flemington, New Jersey. And we're going to get started talking about the 100 and Prep School. And I've got Jamie and Allie here to talk to me about it. Marilyn's in the background, but you won't see her. You may hear her. Hopefully we'll say something funny enough. Somebody laughs. But before we get started, they asked me to tell you what's happening weather-wise. It is 64 degrees. It's balmy out there. I got up this morning, and I said I either have to put an overcoat on or wear a jacket. So I decided, okay, I'm not ready for an overcoat. I put a jacket on, but it's warmed up. It's 64. If we take a look at what the weather is going to do over the next few days, it looks like we're going to go down to a 41 overnight, 54 tomorrow, 36 overnight, 52 on Thursday, 34 overnight. We're going to get some rain Friday, 52, 41 overnight. Saturday's supposed to rain all day and clear up Sunday morning. We want to go to Giants game, so we're hoping it clears up. So let me play a little about me, and then we'll get started.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So that's a little about me. I'll play that again at the end of our broadcast. I'm going to have Jamie and Allie both introduce themselves by going backwards, coming forward. Jamie, how did you get to be who you are at Hunterdon Prep? Tell me about what you've done before that and there.
Okay. Well, I have my master's in social work since 1986, and so I've been doing this for a very, very long time, way before Allie was born, and I've worked in different avenues. I found my niche with kids and families, and I've been in the public school system, and I'd say about 8 or 9 years ago, I was asked to come to Hunterdon Prep by someone who works there for an interview to cover maternity leave, and it was destiny. I knew I had to be there after working in the public school system and having 70 kids on my caseload. We are a very small, mighty school with about 80 kids, so it was just where I needed to land. So I've been there for about 8 years.
Great, 8 years. And we visited the school for the first time. Marilyn and I came over Monday morning. We were blown away, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Allie, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Allie. I'm 18 years old. I am a senior at the Hunterdon Preparatory School. I like to play guitar, and I'm registered to vote.
Wow. So that, congratulations,
Thank
is
you.
Something we don't see a lot of people your age doing. Typically, we get into the late 20s before the kids are out. I hate to call them kids, but at my age, anybody's a kid. We knew the school existed because I had met you at several of our events, and I know you're always looking to place interns, and I know several have worked here at the Chamber, but you suggested we come up and take a look, and I got to tell you, it caught our imagination. We said, this exists, and we don't even know about it. So I'm sure most people don't know Hunterdon Prep exists. Now, where it is a little awkward. If you ever went to the dump in Annandale, not that I want to reference it by that, but you turn by the
transfer station.
You turn by the Honda, you go over 78, and the transfer station's on your right, you turn left, and now you're going down towards that farm where you see the cows on 78, and they take your first left, and it goes back a quarter of a mile into the woods, and it is an old Embark or CenturyLink building. But brought forward, and it is, it's really quite, I thought it was new, so it's really been refurbished rather nicely. In that building, you have 78 students, if I remember to count right, and about 28 staff and teacher staff, whatever. So that's about a 1-to-3 teaching ratio, but you walked us through the school within 45 minutes, and I'm sure we just scratched the surface, and we learned so much. I mean, you not only have helping the children that are there find a passion, but you're preparing them for life, and if they need more, it's not over at the end of 12th grade. You've actually got an extended program. So why don't you tell us, Jamie, how people find you typically?
Okay. So Students are typically referred through their sending districts, and we are an added district placement, which means that students who struggle in their sending districts, our students have different degrees of struggles. They may have anxiety, depression, may have mood disorders, or other mental health issues that prevent them from accessing their typical school. So our students typically don't do well in a large setting. Some of the high schools around here can have more than 3,000 students in them. And for a student who has those kind of struggles, it's very difficult for them. So some are placed through their case managers at their school. It's kind of a last resort for some of the students who are really struggling when they get to our program. And then other students, we do take private placements, other students whose parents find us. As I said, we are a small school, but we do service not only Hunterdon County, but 12 different counties and about 42 sending districts. So we just had a young man yesterday start from Woodbridge.
Okay.
They come from all over New Jersey because we specialize, and I think we're very good at what we do. So.
From what I saw, I think so, too.
Thank you.
Allie, how did you find the school?
So in middle school, I had a hard time, you know, dealing with the whole public school setting, and
okay.
I didn't realize that there was any other option for me. So I was getting special accommodations in school. I wasn't doing very well with those either. It was very, my experience was very classroom-based, very academic-based, and they weren't as, you know, focused on taking care of people's mental health more so as getting them through school. So when I started my freshman year of high school, I went to my case manager and I said, I need to get out of here. And she agreed with me.
Okay.
And she said, let's go look at some schools. So there are other schools like ours in the area, but nothing compares to Hunterdon Prep. So it's a little bit of a hike for me, but it's worth it. So I've been
so
going ever since.
It's not considered a charter school, which would be part of the public school network. It's considered a special needs school,
yes.
I guess.
And we are private, out-of-placement.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But we are a non-for-profit. We're a 501c3.
Okay. So at the end of the day, for people who understand what not-for-profit means, it means they're not in it to make a profit. As a matter of fact, they don't want to make a profit, it's by law, but that gives them special tax incentives, and it also gives them, they lose things like the ability to depreciate things. So a lot of times a corporation will buy new sound equipment and they can depreciate it. In this instance, it's not the case, so the tax works two ways on the not-for-profits. Tell me how Allie came in her freshman year. And this is her fourth year. She's just entering her fourth year. We had a little conversation before we got started. Tell me, is that the average, or does the average student come all over the place, certain places?
So we do start in middle school, as young as sixth grade, but mostly seventh and eighth. We have one small group of kids, maybe 11 kids this year, I believe. And then we have kids coming anywhere from 9th to 12th grade. And the way they get there is when they are in need, that's when they come. So we have an open enrollment, and students come whenever they, so we can have students start October, March, over the summer, and they're all different ages.
Okay, so we witnessed some of the different classes. Some of the classes were music classes and computer classes and art classes, but a lot of the classes, which we didn't go into, are academic classes. Is it like an old-fashioned schoolhouse where different grades are in the same room together, or is it more the ninth graders are with the ninth graders?
So basically students are placed according to their grade, but it can overlap. So if a particular student needs a certain level of math or science, they can be mixed with other students. And I'm going to pass this to Allie and let her talk about the education and what that's like for you.
So like Ms. Kapp said the grades are typically put together and that similar age groups are usually kept together.
Okay.
But as for the academic part of things, you could be in a classroom and every single person in their classroom is taking a different course.
Wow.
So the education there is very individualized. There is a staff member. There's only 9 kids in every classroom at all times, unless another staff member comes in, and that's pretty typical for a special education setting. But you could, in math, for example, I take something different from the person sitting next to me. So we do a lot of independent studying, and when we have questions, we, you know, call our teacher over, and he's able to help us with one subject, and then 2 minutes later go over and help someone with the next subject. It's actually pretty cool to have teachers that are so capable of teaching everything.
I would think that, too, because I'm from the side where everybody learns the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
This is not that. It's a total paradigm shift from that.
Yeah, our students are they're complex learners. They're very bright, independent thinkers. But our staff is they're all content certified, meaning that they have a certification in math and science and history, whatever that is, and they have their special education certification. So they're very used to just adjusting the curriculum to that particular student's needs. And you could have students in science class that are taking biology, chemistry, and physics at
you
the
could have all
time.
Different experiments going at the same time.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. So how does that happen? Your classes are 50 minutes long or something, you know, some amount of time. Everybody comes into the room and they start doing their own thing, or is there a kickoff and then
We, in some classes, like for English, if you're in 12th grade, which typically you're kind of kept with 12th graders, you learn English 12. So in those cases, you sometimes will have like reading comprehension and you all kind of work together. But again, in math, you go in and our math teacher this year has something, a folder that we go and take our stuff out of and get to work. And it's a very guided method of learning. So you kind of have a map of what you're going to be learning for the next few weeks or months. And you just follow along with what your schedule kind of says. And if you have any questions, again, you just raise your hand and they come to you. So you really only are getting taught when you need to be. So it actually really, I think, is valuable learning because you learn how to teach yourself things a lot easier. And it's I think, important for things like college and down the road when you're learning by yourself and you don't have a teacher by your side 24/7.
I've typically heard that people learn one of three different ways, visually, sound-wise, or by doing it. In my mind, I am a good listener. I read books on tape. Marilyn can't stand to do that. She wants to read a book on paper or on her Kindle. So it seems so different to me from the way I was educated. Maybe I didn't get educated, and that's the problem. But I think the thing that Jamie sort of instilled in us in our original conversation is it's not for everybody, and from a couple of different directions. You said that about 50% of the people that come just they're not the right cut. Could you talk a little about that? I don't know if you feel comfortable in front of Allie.
Absolutely. So we get referrals from many sources, and our director of counseling, I didn't speak about the therapeutic component, but we will. Our director of counseling looks at the referrals, and it may include an educational evaluation, a psychosocial evaluation, all kinds of records, and he reads through them very thoroughly and decides, can we help this student? Are we the best place for this student? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's no, and then we stop the referral because we don't want to set a student up to come and look at the school and get interviewed and then say, oh, you know, it's sorry, we really, or even worse, accept a student who wouldn't fit in. And we've been doing this for 44 years, I believe. So we have a real good feeling about the kinds of kids that benefit from our program and the kinds that don't. It's not to be exclusive. It's not to push anyone away. It's to really help as many students as we can.
And I think that's important. You've got those years of experience. This school started up in Califon and was up on the hill as you come up Cook's Cross Road, I guess, there, and then went to this building 3 or 4 years ago. So you've got in your mind what you can, people you can help and people you can't help. And I think that's something that a lot of people, some people try to help everybody, and it's just, then they don't help anybody at the end of the story. What is it you're not looking for when somebody applies?
So our students have to be available and willing to grow, to commit to working on themselves, to being part of a community. We have something called the Good Faith Agreement, which maybe I'll let Allie speak
I'd
about.
I'd love to. Okay. To put it simply, the Good Faith Agreement is really that you are willing to make yourself vulnerable. You are willing to put yourself in a position where you might be confronted on an issue or you might have to take care of an issue, and you're open to constructive criticism and feedback, and that you're willing to, you know, be kind to others. And that's kind of the easiest way of putting it, I think.
Okay.
So.
So vulnerable is a very powerful word.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people aren't used to that, and can't they? Like, my kids had 5 brothers and sisters, so they grew up. And then somebody, Marilyn, grew up as an only child. Your whole mentality is different when you go to school, and it's difficult to look at it the same way. So this is something that's discussed with the student in advance, I would take it. And is it presented by another student or by a counselor?
Both. When you come for your interview as a student, you get told about the program by the director of, what's it called?
Counseling.
And you also have a tour by a student. So I've given a number of tours to students that are looking at the school, and I always mention the Good Faith Agreement, and I always mention, you know, our counseling aspect of things, which is really what makes us, if it doesn't seem unique enough, that's really where the real uniqueness of the school comes in.
So why don't you speak about the counseling program from a student perspective?
Okay. First I'll start with the individual counseling. So what's different about our school versus public school is we have the type of system where if you're, let's say you're having a really hard time in class and you can't focus, you can't sit still, you're just really not, you're really not there.
Right.
There's 2 options. You can go to the counseling area and either sign up to see a counselor and they'll come get you later in the day or whenever they're available. Or there's a place for you to sit and just, you know, either cool down or wait for a counselor. And those are typically for emergencies. And that system is, I think, almost flawless because it really works every time for a lot of people. And, you know, there are some busier days than others, but for the most part, a counselor or someone is coming to check on you if you really need it. If your name is on that list, someone's going to check on you that day. And if they don't get to you that day, I can guarantee you they'll get to you tomorrow.
And there's a term for that. I was just looking at it. Is it desk time or bench time?
It's the bench.
Yeah,
it's a little wooden bench with a little tissue box, and you sit there, and sometimes you could be upset. Sometimes kids just need to sit there because they're just not in class, and they need to take themselves away. They need to take a break.
Right.
And for a lot of students and my peers, that is how they learn. They need to take breaks, and by taking those breaks, it helps them learn better.
Right. And the idea is when students are in public school and they're struggling, sometimes they'll spend the entire day in the nurse's office or the guidance counselor's office. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is let's just talk about what's going on and then get you back to class. You're available to learn. So you have it. It's kind of, I consider it like an insurance policy. It's there when you need it, and you should use it when you need it. But you don't have to use it constantly.
Mm-hmm. And this is something they probably, I'm sure they do, take home with them and do at home as well.
Well, I think Allie can.
I think some students, you know, utilize the 100% utilize the skills they learn at our school outside of school, whether it's at home or. I don't know if everyone has a little wooden bench set up, but or a little sign-up sheet to talk to their parents, but you definitely learn a very unique, specific set of skills there that you can take with you outside of school. And you learn a lot of that in group counseling, I think. So.
Wow. Wow. I remember we read Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus together, and they talked a man wanting to go sit in his cave. He just needs cave time to think about things. And a woman has to respect that cave time because, you know, you're not going to communicate well until you get through
exactly.
it. So this is amazing. It's really in that same understanding yourself, understanding you need that time out, understanding what to do in a time out so you come back and face the situation. Now, I would imagine most of the children coming into this aren't coming from ideal households.
Yeah, no. Nobody's coming from a perfect world.
Right.
Everyone's coming to, you know, to really focus on themselves and deal with what they're going through. So it's also a great the bench is also a good opportunity to learn, like, when you should go to the bench and when you can, you know, stay away from the bench. And you practice that strategy of, today I'm going to try to get through my problems and just sign up today. And I'm going to go back to class. I'm going to get through class as long as possible. So they teach you, it's like both sides. You learn.
Mm-hmm. Self-regulation.
Self-regulation, yeah, that's
very
the word.
Well put.
Yes. And then our counseling program, the students meet with their group, with their academic group, 3 times a week with a counselor. And they can talk about any conflicts they're having. They can talk about stuff that's going on at home, talk about how they're feeling, any issues. And they get support from their fellow students' advice, and they just get to express what's going on.
I think one of the cooler parts of group is, one, you get to that one that you don't, something you don't experience in public school, is you form such a strong and deep bond with your classmates because you watch each other go through some really hard things, and when you open up to each other in group, I think that really expands your ability to be comfortable in school and to be able to learn better because you're comfortable with the people you're around.
Right.
So you get to be, like I said, vulnerable together. And I think that makes your relationships with not only the students there, but the staff as well, so much more powerful and so much stronger. And another cool part of group is, let's say you're having a conflict with a staff member. You can call them into the group and you can sit down and have a completely organized conversation and a very civilized adult conversation with that person, let them know how you feel. And since this is all under the good faith agreement, and the staff is under the good faith agreement too, they have to respond, and you work out your issues in group, and it makes things so much easier and less stressful. Like even if it's something like a homework assignment or something that they said that kind of offended you or made you upset, you can handle those things in group with the counselor present, with all of your peers present, and everyone gets to share their opinion and their point of view. It's really amazing.
Do you know how many people go through life and never get this experience?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think personally there should be some kind of group counseling in every public school. I know a lot of public schools in the area have, you know, special programs where certain kids that are struggling can go meet together and have something similar to this, but my public school, for example, doesn't offer that sort of service, so
right.
I think it's beneficial for these things to be in every school.
We actually call the class Communications Lab. That's what it is, and it teaches kids how to communicate with one another.
Yep.
And it's based on a conflict resolution model. So if you know, it teaches kids how to resolve conflicts, which I think many carry over into their home lives, into their future, into when they go. Kids have told me when they go to college, it's so much easier with their roommates, with their parents, with their bosses, and it's a wonderful skill. And I agree. I think every person would benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just like they say, when you go through school, they don't teach you how to listen. They don't teach you how to do certain things. They teach you what they think you need to know. And we just heard something last night on a radio that blew our minds. And I used it this morning at a chamber meeting in Somerset County. And that was that 3/4 of the children born this year will work in a job that we do not have today. And that is an amazing. Alice said, well, think about computer programming. We didn't have computer programming when we grew up. Everybody's a coder. And I was a computer programmer at one point in time, so I can relate back because I didn't know I wanted to be that. I wanted to be a forest ranger or something when I went to school. I wanted to be outdoors. So the world is changing so quickly, and I know Mike Madonna, who I listen to from the, he's the president of Raritan Valley Community College. He said that we don't need those four-year degrees that mom and dad had. As a matter of fact, if you go and get one, you're probably at a disadvantage because you're thinking 20, 30 years ago. What we need today is different, and what we really need in Somerset County, in Hunterdon County, are more two-year people with specialties added on to it, like make a Microsoft engineering or a word processing specialist or a web development specialist, you know, things that we need today. And he says those people can actually go out and earn much more than people with a four-year degree working in New York City and be right here in the county. So we have, Polish, I can tell the story about the Polish bridge builders. We have jobs here and people here, and the gap is quite big and getting bigger. I can't say enough good about what I saw, because we were both, and we're still talking about it, very impressed with it. But I will say that I think we need more of it. And I was so glad to see this within our own community. Let's talk about the money side of things. Now, a school, I know some of the answers, so I'm going to tell them, and then you can correct me if I don't have it correct. Is if a public school has a student, let's say with Allie's background, and say, okay, we don't have the resources to teach Allie, they can send them to Hunterdon Prep in Annandale, New Jersey, and they will pay for that out of their budget. And then Allie's, there may be some ancillary expense, but 99% of the expenses are covered. If, in effect, that is not the case and somebody wants to come, they can come with the screening. It's not that you accept everybody, but it's more on a college level of expense.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And it's you know, school districts have very good intentions. It's the law to actually educate a student with the least restrictive environment. So they try to do the right thing by students. It's not usually punitive. But what happens is sometimes students can't be available for learning in schools like this. So the district needs to send them out. But you know, everything boils down to budget, and right. it's a very taxing thing on a district to send out maybe multiple students. So I think there's a hesitation. Unfortunately, some students who need out-of-district placements don't always get it. And I think I mentioned this to everyone that, you know, it's what is a child's life worth? What is if you don't invest in a young person, what is their future going to look like?
Right.
You pay now or you pay later.
Right.
So you get a student who's struggling well and healthy and thriving, and then they're going to go out and be a really productive and wonderful part of our communities. But if you don't, sometimes it doesn't work out so well for the student, and then they become a bigger problem.
And so I think
people are somewhat short-sighted in their investment in these students.
So you call it out-of-district placement.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And are there other out-of-district placements in Hunterdon and Somerset?
There are. In New Jersey, I believe there's 160-something schools.
Oh, okay.
But everybody has their different specialty and their niche and the kind of students that they take varies. So there aren't many schools. There are some, but there aren't many schools who do what we do. I believe no one does it as well as us.
I'm biased. You can tell by the smile.
I'm a little biased. But so when a student has a particular need, there are schools for autistic children. There are schools for hard of hearing and deaf students.
Right.
There's many, many different. And we really have found our niche with students who struggle with anxiety, depression, mood disorders, things of that nature.
So it almost becomes a charter out of district. A charter school is typically, if it's a math school or a science school or a music school, It's got that specialty. You've got a special set of needs that come to your school, and they work well. And it seems to me there's a huge emphasis on music within the school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The arts, I would say. Yeah, the arts. Do you want to address that?
Sure. I mean, I learned almost everything I know about music at my school, and I think some of it might have to do with the fact that our principal was born to be a rock star. But I hope he's listening to this. But we also have an amazing art program, and our art teacher is so passionate about what she does, and we do so many amazing projects and group projects in that area. And with the music, we have concerts for like every holiday. We have one coming up for Halloween, and it's like a rock concert and Halloween themed songs. And there's a lot of new students that come and see the art class and see the music program and really thrive in those things, because what they learn in therapy or what they've learned up until coming to our school, and a lot of kids have been to therapy before our school, not everyone, but a lot, learn that the arts are a good way of coping with anxiety and depression. So a lot of people thrive in these programs. So, I mean, I've grown so much as a musician and as an artist since I've been there, and I can say it's thanks to my school. And I utilize all of the artistic things that I've learned in my outside life now. And, you know, when I first came to HPS, I remember telling my art teacher, I don't really do art. Art's not my thing. I like music. And that's totally different now. Look forward to art every week.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really brings out, I think, the best in people and their artistic and creative side, even if you're not good at...
What is your favorite thing art-wise?
Art-wise, I love to paint, right? And luckily, that's what we're doing right now in our art studio class, so I got lucky.
Okay.
And then music, I really do love to perform, and I get to do that there, so... You know, I think I'm very lucky to go to this school.
So what is your favorite genre?
Of music?
Yeah.
I think probably classic rock.
Really?
Yeah,
Wow.
I think most people say I'm an old soul musically.
Okay.
So I don't really listen to anything that came out since I've been born. maybe sometimes.
Wow.
But yeah, I love guitar, electric guitar, so... That really comes out a lot in classic rock music.
Are you more lead or a rhythm?
I play mostly rhythm guitar because I'm no expert. But of course, I like to listen to a good guitar solo if I get the chance or attempt one.
But Stevie Ray played his own lead and rhythm at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing. I still listen to him every day. I have him on my Pandora. He comes up about every 12th song.
Yeah,
I'm saying, wow.
So the thing that I want to say about the music program is we have kids that start off in the school that cannot even talk to anyone because they're so anxious, and they've been so beaten down. And then they start by going to their music class and learning to play an instrument. And then, you know, you fast forward 6 months later and they're on stage and they're performing in front of 100 people, and it's just amazing to see this transformation, this confidence, and they're very supported by the whole school community. Mm-hmm. People from the outside come and listen, and it's just an incredible thing. And once you perform on stage, and you feel so empowered, and you know, you forget about what you can't do, and mm-hmm. you start thinking about what you can do. And it's an amazing thing to see, to witness.
Hanging around these kids and these teachers and, you know, hanging around the staff members that specifically have been doing this and working with the school for such a long time, and then also meeting kids that have all been through their own struggles, you become so unapologetic. You become so not always comfortable with who you are, but you learn how to embrace the parts of you that you couldn't embrace before.
Wow.
And I think that it's because of the way that things are done there with the staff and how supportive everyone really is of each other. Everyone, it's like a family. That's what I think most students would say. It's like a second home to a lot of people.
So let me give you a picture of walking in. First of all, it's a nice building. Then you park on the side, you walk up to the front door. I guess there's other ways in, but visitors come through the front door for security purposes. And once you get a name tag and somebody meets you and starts walking you down a hall, you see this massive auditorium with two sets of drums and a bunch of tables. It must be 150 by 150. It's a big auditorium, but not tall like a gym. And then you get a tour through it, and then within the auditorium there's an art room, and then there's a music room. And the music room is unlike, I always loved a guitar, and I went into that music room and said, wow, where was I when this place, where was this place when I was a kid? This looks, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
And then we went on to the computer lab with a dozen different computers sitting in it with one teacher, and then on the way past we met the fellow that does your physical plant, Frank, was it?
Mr. Jacobson.
Mr. Jacobson.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, some people just want to work on the heating system and want to work on the water system. And he says, we ferret them out and we teach them how to work with their hands. Like, I have one son that's that way. I have another son that's totally different. You know, five children, different from each other, no two alike. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got their own aspirations. And then when you get into... And I always, I coded, probably, I'm not even going to put the years on the thing because people say, the guy's still alive. Most of my life, and then I got into selling software for large software houses. And it's amazing how somebody could start doing something and somebody said, well, why are you doing it that way? Try it this way. And it's just like a total, you're thinking that way, you're thinking this way, and before you got it, you've got this, and it's better than the two put together. It's so interesting what you can learn from each other. I worked for one company that did coding in pairs because they wanted the code to be perfect, but they also wanted to cross-think things as they coded. And I had never worked in that environment before. So I can relate to how somebody can, when I play the guitar, somebody said, try it this way. And you're not thinking, try that. And it's, there's more than what you just know. And if you get into a group of people who are trying to do the same thing and some are more accomplished and less accomplished, it's amazing how the synergies put themselves together as long as it's not an antagonistic atmosphere.
I think we embrace people's differences at the school, and that's the culture. It's like you can, you know, whereas other places they may have been seen as odd or weird or may have been chastised, we embrace, oh, you have purple hair? That looks awesome.
There you go.
You know, whatever you do is okay. And what a relief for people, not just students, but people in general, just to be who they are as long as they're respectful and kind and considerate. You be who you are. That's the beautiful thing.
I love it. I love it. We need more of that in the adult world. It's so easy to, it's one of them. They're not one of us. It's like we're too divisive, and we're a great community of 300 million people, and it seems like half of us are fighting with the other half all the time.
Yeah, they all need to come to our school and go to group.
I will get that arranged. I'll go to Washington when we're done.
We don't have enough space.
The kids teach them how it's done.
That's interesting. So as somebody, you mentioned before we got started that you've registered to vote.
I have.
And how are you viewing the political environment as a first-time voter?
I have a lot of questions. Yeah. I have a lot of questions, and I am sure that I make it a point to ask all of those questions to my teachers.
Right.
I'm a very curious person. So, you know, I think in all areas of my life, I have people with differing opinions. Even within my own family, everyone's very divided about their opinions. But I think what it all comes down to, and what it's going to come down to, in my lifetime at least, is the environment and just, you know, coming together as one human race rather than all these different religions, all these different colors, all these different countries. It's not really about that anymore. I think it's all about unity. And so I am typically drawn more towards united people, whether that's Democrat, Republican. That doesn't really matter to me. It's about the people that, you know, are accepting and understanding of each other rather than the people that are, you know, very close-minded and not very accepting.
I heard a quote yesterday. I think the woman's last name is Byrne. She has a very long forehead, and she's a historian. We saw her on the... she was one of the people that talked when we watched the Roosevelt series. You'd recognize her if she saw it. And she was being interviewed by somebody yesterday, and she said something that I think really hit the top of the nail. And she said it used to be that we just hope people wouldn't marry out of the religion,
mm-hmm.
or out of the caste, or out of the ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Now it's we hope they won't marry out of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, she's got it. She nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've become such a divisive nation that mm-hmm. it's going to be really, I think, difficult to get it back on track. And I think everybody has opinions of how it got here, but I think she said it best. So, what would you say to somebody, and I'll ask each one of you the same question, that says, I wonder if my child or my sister's child would fit into this school? How would they get started, and what should they consider?
So I would say that a phone call is warranted and a tour. We always encourage people to come and see the school and feel, you have a feeling when you walk in, and I think I try to describe the school, but it's very difficult to articulate until you walk through those doors and see what it's about. So I always encourage someone, if your child or someone you know is struggling, come take a look at it. It may be a good fit, it may not be, but you won't know until you see it. And then after that, then we get the ball rolling if it's the right fit. And people seem to have good sense when they walk through the doors. I could see my child here, or a student. I could see myself coming here, and then the rest is easy. And you don't have to know what to do when you come. You just have to have a little bit of a leap of faith, and the staff and the other students are going to take care of you, and you're going to be okay.
And if you wanted to know more, there's a booklet that is called Hunterdon Preparatory School. Hunterdon Prep.
Hunterdon Prep. We're on Facebook.
HunterdonPrep.org, and you can find them website-wise, Facebook-wise. But their phone number, 908-832-7200, is the number you would call. You don't really need to know who you want to call. All you need to do is say, I think I'd like to learn more. And the person who picks up the phone will get you in touch with the right person. There might be a few questions. So now, Ali, you tell me.
I can use my personal experience as an example. If you're a student, or if you're a parent, and you know that where you're at now, whether it's public school, whether it's private school, and you know that there's something going wrong, but you can't really figure out what it is, but you know you need a change, you can call, you can go visit the website, you can find so many things on the website. But I think, you know, it's kind of hard to make that decision, like, should I leave this place that I've known my whole life? Like, for me, it was a really hard decision, because I was leaving all my friends. I had to make a completely new life for myself, and that was really scary, because I was, you know, I'm from a small town, so everybody knew everybody, everybody knew everybody's business. And, you know, I didn't think there were any schools smaller than mine, but, you know, I lucked out, and I ended up meeting, like, the most influential people in my life here. My very, very best friends, the people that I'm closest to, really have come from the school. And, you know, taking the steps to get to this point is, you know, if you're a student or if you're a parent, tell someone, you know, what you're going through. Communicate your issues. Keeping things as a family issue or as a personal issue and not talking about them doesn't benefit you at all. You just end up bottling everything inside, and then they just come out in, you know, negative behaviors and things like that. So unless you kind of admit that there's an issue and address that there's an issue, you'll never really know how much you can be, you know, helped by another person. And a lot of people don't know our school exists. So
it doesn't exist just for Hunterdon County.
Yeah.
So even though it's called Hunterdon Prep,
I'm from Union County, and it's for me. But, you know, when I had my tour, my mom cried. She really did. Sorry, Mom. she cried because, you know, she said to me, she's like, this place is just so, because for so long she couldn't figure out, like, what was going to be right for me, and it really was something that affected my whole family. We were all, everyone was worried about me, and they didn't know what was right for me, and then we came here, and everything fell into place.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're a senior this year.
I am.
And when you graduate, what college are you thinking about?
I'm looking at Montclair this weekend, actually.
Okay.
But I don't want to overwork myself too much, so, you know, I'm not so set on going to, like, an Ivy League school or something like that, but, you know, I have peers that are set on going to places like NYU. They want to apply to those places, so
wow.
Everyone's different at our school, and we're all very supportive of each other no matter what we do.
So if you're a musical interest and background, or mm-hmm. some schools, does Montclair offer a good music?
Yeah, they offer music programs, and, you know, I think I also have the advantage of, you know, knowing a lot about, you know, therapy and psychology, so that's something I could also pursue.
Okay.
And, you know, that could go with music therapy or something like
sure.
that.
Sure.
You know, I think my school has taught me that I'm capable of doing a lot of things, and I don't have to just go to college with one thing set in mind. I can be very open-minded and,
wow.
you know, keep my options open, so that's kind of what the plan is.
Jimmy, and how far have others who have come out of the school gone? Most go on to something else?
It's very varied. Many go to community college, lots to their local community college. We have lots of students that go to Raritan Valley. We have students who, I didn't even talk about our internship program,
yeah.
but we have something called a structured learning experience program where students go out and actually work in the community and try different jobs. And some students are hired from their internship. So we have several students who have gotten full-time jobs from that. Some of the kids go to four-year colleges. Some of them started a community college and transfer. And students, we have professional students. We have students that are in their 40s and 50s that stop back and
wow.
support the school. There's a lot of alumni that come back. We have a gala every other year, and our gala is April 4th this year. And Allie will most likely be performing at the gala, which if you want to hear more,
it's
And so the sky's the limit, and it's a beautiful thing to see people evolve and grow, and there's nothing we love better when the students come back and they tell us all the cool things that they're doing.
Neat. So we've got about 4 minutes left. What didn't we cover? I know one of the things we had a question about was physical activities,
mm-hmm.
like we didn't see a gym. Why don't mm-hmm. you talk a little about that? You said that there's outdoor activities, but not like baseball and football.
Right. So our kids typically aren't too interested in competitive sports, and if they are, they can go to their district and participate in that. But we try to do life skills and lifelong activities. So some of our gym, our phys ed, are fishing and bowling and yoga, and what else am I missing?
Hiking, so after education.
Hiking. Some of the kids for electives, do cooking classes, and what else do they do?
Computer classes.
Computer.
Our computer instructor, he, like, teaches coding, computer coding.
Mm-hmm.
There's music, art, vocal lab, which is separate. It's all about the singing. There's so many options.
Wow.
And the teachers are always open to new ideas. And
okay.
everything is very student-driven. So if you have an idea, is there something you want to do, it's very likely that it'll happen for you.
It's kind of like a college when you want to start a club.
Yeah.
Even if students are interested, we do it. We also do lots of off-campus activities.
Mm-hmm.
We do a ton of trips, and not just to have fun, but there's always a therapeutic reason in mind when we do these trips. It's about, you know, getting a group and going on the trains and getting into Philadelphia and exploring the arts there.
Wow.
And we do kayaking trips, and once in a while we sleep over at the school. We just
mm-hmm.
put air mattresses all over the place, and we'll have a big overnight trip.
And you wake up and get up in the morning and eat breakfast together. Sometimes you can take a shower, you brush your teeth, and then you go to first period.
There you go.
Yeah, get through your day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you told me about your fishing trip. I don't know if that was today.
Yeah,
or
it was
week.
Today. Yeah. It was just for, you know, it's just like any other day for us. You hop on a bus, you go a couple miles down the road, and you just put a little worm on your fishing pole, and you go fishing.
And did you catch anything?
Not today. It's a little cold out, so I don't think that.
Where did they take you today?
We went to the Baptist Conference Camp.
Okay.
They work with the school. It's really a private facility, so it's really nice of them to open that up to us on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So that's the one on Blossom Hill Road there?
I think so, yeah.
We have great community relationships. We try to get out there. We try to help the community. We have students that work at the food pantry. We have a bunch of us just went to the Red Mill. We work there every day to set up for their haunted exhibition, and then we got to go on Friday night. I think 23 students and 6 staff members went, and we went to the Haunted Mill together.
Aww.
So we do some really nice things, but we try to be involved in the community, and it's about teaching students that you're part of a community.
Right.
We go to school in a community, and we like to give back, and that's very healing to many people.
Well, great. This has been Jamie Capasuto, I'm saying your last name right, from Hunterdon Prep School, and you can reach, I'm not going to say, I try to say preparatory anymore. It's 908-832-7200. And Allie, your last name again?
Charlton,
okay. Mm-hmm. And Allie lives in New Providence, so even though we're in Hunterdon County, she's coming from about probably 30 miles away.
Yeah.
And how do you, what is the transportation mode?
I take a bus, they pick me up in the morning, and they bring me home in the afternoon,
right.
And it's a lucky way of, you know, getting to and from without, you know, my parents driving me.
And once in a while you even drive
Once in a while I drive myself,
right.
Yeah, because I have my license.
Good for you,
yeah.
Good for you, and good luck with your first vote.
Thank you.
Make it count.
Thank you.
I thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
It's always a pleasure. We'll have to do it again sometime. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to come to one of your concerts.
You're more than welcome to come to anyone you'd like
to. It sounds great. So I'm going to drop out and put a commercial on, and our next, which is a music show, will be starting in about 5 minutes. Thank you for coming on, guys.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
I love our country, and our country has taken second fiddle. If you look at the trade deals, and nobody knows it better than me, I'm knocking out some of the worst deals I've ever seen. Where we're giving all of our wealth, all of our money to other countries, and then they don't treat us properly. Where we're protecting other rich countries, very, very rich countries, including, by the way, a country that happens to be very much in the news, Saudi Arabia. Immensely wealthy, and we're taking care of their military for a fraction of the cost. Not fair to us.
President Trump going into a little bit more detail about his comments last night at a Houston rally where he said, I'm a nationalist. The $1.6 billion Mega Millions jackpot drawing will be tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern time, and the Dow was down 125 points to close the day at 25,191. This is USA Radio News.
an official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Gallup reports a job approval rating for President Trump has increased to 44% in mid-September. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
The latest results